أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا. قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا. قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحد ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا إلا بلاغا من الله ورسالاته ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإن له نار جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا حتى إذا رأوا ما يوعدون فسيعلمون من أضعف ناصرا وأقل عددا قل إن أدري أقريب ما توعدون أم يجعل له ربي أمدا عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من رسول فإنه يسلك من بين يديه ومن خلفه رصدا ليعلم أن قد أبلغوا رسالات ربهم وأحاط بما لديهم وأحصى كل شيء عددا. صدق الله العظيم. In the previous session, we talked about the ayah of Surah Al-Jinn that talks about the importance of the masajid. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And then it showed that when people forget the realities of things, just as the kuffar of Quraysh did, they forgot what the masajid were for. So instead of doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masajid, they were doing everything else. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger of Allah who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in his house and at the Kaaba, the kuffar of Quraysh disapproved someone worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. Which means the purpose for which the masajid are built, they did not want that purpose to be fulfilled. And they wanted to do everything else in those masajid. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. All the masajid belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not call anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not pray to anyone in these masajid. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. When this Abdullah, which means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stands up, يَدْعُوهُ, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى. They surround him with their crowds, as now they are going to torture him, punish him. Why are you worshipping Allah in his house? So they did not want that purpose of the masajid to be fulfilled. And we talked in detail about these two ayahs in our previous session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, tell these kuffar of Quraysh, إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. These crowds are not going to stop me and prevent me from doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have as large crowd as you want, and you can surround me from every corner. You can torture me and harass me and do whatever you want. إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي. I will tell you this, mate, that I will only worship Allah. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. I would not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. your crown is not going to affect me, and whatever intentions you people have, and whatever hardships I have to go through through because of you people, is not a proof that these things should not be done in the masjid. That will not change my opinion. That will not change me. I will still continue doing whatever I have to do. It's showing the strength of the iman. And telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, telling the ummah that once you are convinced with the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you scattered the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have seen the beauty of the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these type of hardships should not be able to stop you from doing whatever you have to do. إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. I would not associate partners with Allah. Bring even a larger crowd and that will not stop me. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. Now they started coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're saying, if the day of judgment is so close, and you always talk about the day of judgment, and you talk about the punishment of Allah that came to the previous nations, why doesn't Allah punish us? والعياذ بالله. Bring the punishment of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, لا أملك لكم ضرا. I control no harm for you people. That's not in my hands. I cannot do anything about it. All I'm doing is telling you that this is what happened in the past. This may happen to you if you won't accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as bringing it, that's out of my control. I'm a messenger. I'm not Allah. إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا. I control no harm for you people. I cannot bring those punishments. And at the same time, if you people are asking me to put the guidance in your hearts, وَلَا رَشَدًا, I do not even control the guidance. So, all I can do is convey the message to you, try my best to explain it to you, to make you understand it in the best form I can, but if you ask me to show you the punishment of Allah, I cannot do that. And if you ask me to put that guidance and the hidayah in your heart, I cannot do that either. I would just convey the message. Sometime the kuffar came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him for some specific miracles. Show us this. Show us that. Sometime, for example, they asked, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the whole city of Makkah like garden, and we will have gardens all around and streams of water flowing everywhere? If you are a prophet of Allah, make that happen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, I cannot do it. I have no control over these things. I did not come as an architect who would try to develop your city. I did not come to give you gardens and give you streams of water. I came to convey the message of Allah to you. As far as showing you the miracles, I have shown you a lot of miracles. But when it comes to asking for a specific miracle, that is something I won't do it. And I have no control over doing it. Who has the control? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the control to do it. And it happened a lot with every prophet of Allah that people would come to ask for specific miracles. This is always a problem. And this is a problem until this day with some of us. I would come to that later on. Let's understand how this problem started. When a messenger of Allah will invite people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so of course now everyone is looking at it from his own way and his angle. Now, every 5 or 10 of them will come to this messenger of Allah, and one group will say, why don't you bring some fountains for us? Fountains of water. Another will say, why don't you have angels to come and talk to us directly? Third group says, we would like to receive a book directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another group says, we like to talk to Allah directly, our souls. Another group says, make us some gardens. Third, another group says that we like to have these mountains turned into gold. So every group is coming with their own criteria and with their own specific type of miracles. If you do it, then we would accept it. So now, he has to perform miracle for every person and for every group of 5 or 10. This is not what the Prophet is sent for. Throughout his life, he will be just performing miracles. And then still, people will say, we are not satisfied with this one. Now, as you had the fountains of water, now I need another fountain of milk also in my home. And now that one was in our backyard. Now I want one inside my house. Prophet of Allah are not for this. Their purpose is to prove their truthfulness, and they can prove the truthfulness by performing any type of miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask them to perform it. Once the miracle is there, everyone knows that they have been challenged with something that they cannot do it. That's it. It has been proven that this person is a prophet of Allah. Nowadays, the same problem continues. How many times you find people asking you for a specific proof? What does that mean? Sometimes you find a person coming to you and he says, can you tell me this, show me this in Quran? Why do I have to show you that in Quran and not in Hadith? That is just like those people asking for specific miracles. Now we are asking for a specific proof. It cannot be that way. Ask for a proof. And proof can be in Quran and Hadith both. And anywhere in Quran. I cannot say, if you show it to me in Surah Al-Baqarah, then I would accept it. That's in Surah Al-Imran, I don't accept it. Just like some other people would come, is there any hadith about it in Bukhari? So if it is in Bukhari, then I would accept it. If it is in Muslim, then I won't. Or if it is in Ibn Majah, then I won't. If it is in Mustadrak Hakim, I won't. Why? Why specific miracle? Why specific according to what you want? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever said throughout his life that accept the miracles that are mentioned only in Surah Baqarah, or accept the miracles that are only in Surah Al-Imran, or accept the hadith that will be only in Bukhari and Muslim? Then why we are coming with a specific and we require those specific proofs? It is just like those people requiring a specific miracle. And whenever it comes to that, then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform those miracles. Although he was able to do it. And Allah was able to do it. And Allah could make it happen that okay, these 5 people are saying, if you show us this specific miracle, then we will become Muslims. Okay, Rasulullah, show it to them. And he would show it to them, so they will become Muslims. Now another 5. But he said, no, this is not what Islam is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I decide what miracles, not you. And now, as they started asking, they went to the extent. Look, they went to the extent of asking, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Asking for a specific and a specific and a specific, now going to the extreme of asking, how come the Qur'an was not revealed to one of our leaders and it's revealed on you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So if it is revealed on someone else, if Allah would reveal it on someone else, on that person, then I would accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore asks, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Did I give them the power to give the rahmah and distribute the rahmah of Allah as they want and give the prophethood to whomever they like? These are my prophets and my messengers. I select, not them. So, specific miracles and proofs are always a problem. And that demand should never be fulfilled. Proof is a proof, no matter what it is from. As long as it's a proof. Yes, we cannot bring something that is not a proof and then consider it as a proof. But at the same time, when there is a proof, then it can be, as long as it's a genuine proof, accepted by in that field. In whichever field we are talking about, as long as those books or those things are accepted in that field, then proof is a proof. And now we cannot ask for a specific, show it to me in that page, show it to me in that chapter, show it to me on from that library. There is nothing like that. And these type of things are not going to be accepted. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can have no control over these things. لا أملك لكم ضرًا ولا رشدا. I control no harm or guidance for you people. I cannot guide you. You ask for specific things, I cannot guide you. I cannot even show you those things. That's up to you. I have showed you those general things that everyone else have seen. And then embrace Islam after seeing them. If you like, this is Islam. If you don't want it, I cannot give you, fulfill your demands. And you will keep on continuously coming to me with more and more demands. I cannot do that. قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. Now they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, okay, you are not bringing the punishment, you are not showing us the specific proofs, you are not putting the guidance into our hearts, so now we have one more thing to ask. If you do it, then we'll come to Islam. What is that? There are certain things in your teaching that are very difficult to follow. So if you just take those things away, if you allow us not to do these certain things, then we will accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. If I start making changes into the deen of Allah, no one will help me against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the punishment of Allah would come to me, no one would be able to help me against the punishment of Allah. There is a punishment for those who would change or try to change. I cannot do it. وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. And I would not find any refuge anywhere other than going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, I cannot run away from Allah by making changes into His deen. So I cannot fulfill none of these things. All of your requirements, I cannot fulfill them. My responsibility is only إِلَّا بَلَاغًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِسَالَاتِهِ, to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is my responsibility. This is what Allah has sent me for. Understand my limitations. Try to understand what I'm telling you about myself. Pay attention to what I'm saying and what I'm claiming to be. All I'm telling you people is that I'm a human being like you. I'm just a human being. And the difference between me and you is only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the message to me. إِنَّمَا أَنْقُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, I'm a human being like you. I cannot do things that Allah would not allow me to do. I cannot perform these miracles. I cannot fulfill your demands. It's only when Allah allows me to do it. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. The difference is, the revelation comes to me and I can wait to you people. That's the difference. Because I'm receiving the revelation doesn't mean now I should be able to perform every miracle that you people demand. They walk into the marketplace, into the shopping centers. They see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. They objected that you are such a great person, you are a messenger of Allah. Then we see you in these stores. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Qur'an al-Kareem responds to that also. He says this is because they don't realize you're a human being like them. وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. What happened to this messenger of Allah? He eats food like us and he's out in the shopping centers, in the mall, in the stores. Why does he have to buy these things? He should be just sitting at home or in the masjid. لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرًا. Why he doesn't have an angel with him at all the time to fulfill his needs? أَوْ يُلْقَى إِلَيْهِ كَنْزِ. Or Allah would shower a treasure on him, so he keeps on getting it at his home. أَوْ تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. Or he will have a nice garden from where he can just keep on eating from it, so he won't have to go and buy from people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. I'm sending a human being like you.
لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ.
Allah has done a great favor by sending a messenger to them who's one of them, who's a human being like them. So that's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but people fail to understand that He is a messenger of Allah. They wanted to see someone greater than a human being. And same mistake that the previous nations did also. That does that messenger, human being like us? No, has to be son of God. Then he will have a better position. Same thing, when people looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they expected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform things much higher than these people, than a human being. But he's saying, I'm a human being. My ability is just like any other human being. And that is the greatness of it. That is the beauty of it. That being a human being, then you see him standing the whole night doing the ibadah of Allah. Then you see him with all of these good manners and good morals and behavior. And you see all of these teachings, beautiful, beautiful teachings. And you see that detailed knowledge of deen that he has, of the knowledge of everything that he has. Now we can understand a human being like us having all of this. It is miraculous, and he did not learn it from anyone of us. So of course it has to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that by itself, being a prophet, understanding that he's a human being like us, that itself is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, by changing, I cannot skip the punishment of Allah, and my responsibility is, إِلَّا بَلَاغًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِسَالَاتِ, to convey the message of Allah. وَرِسَالَاتِ, and convey all the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلَاغ means to announce. To announce all the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and رِسَالَاتِ means conveying the message. So conveying the message in any and every form, and I have to also announce it to the people that I am a messenger of Allah. So there is no humbleness there. It's not humbleness. People say, are you a messenger of Allah? I'm a servant of Allah. No. At the time when he's questioned, are you a messenger of Allah? He had to say, yes, I'm a messenger of Allah. Announcing that I'm a messenger of Allah. What is that? And at the same time, he says, I'm announcing it to you people. And I'm letting you people know. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Whoever will disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will have the hellfire in which that person will remain forever. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Look at the wording of the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How clearly he makes his statements without fearing any consequences of what people will feel and what people will say. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Wash-Shamsi wa Duhaha, what's the last ayah of it? وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Once he says things and he does things, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا, he's not afraid of the consequences that people will say, oh, I'm not good. People will think Allah wal-ayazubillah is not doing what we expect from him. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا, he's not afraid of anything of that kind. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. He said, I destroyed that nation. There were previous nations. He said, I destroyed them, and I'm not afraid of anything else, of any consequences, that people will say, why did he destroy so many people? وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. This is what that ayah means. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you disobey Allah, and very clearly he's putting it up front, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and ask anyone and ask yourself, what does يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ means? Disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the result of that? Of disobeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمُ. That person will have the hellfire. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا.
He will remain there forever.
Remember, of course, this ayah is talking about the type of disobedience that comes with kufr and shirk. But of course, at the same time, is telling us that the place for disobedient servants is, wal'ayaz billah, the hellfire.
And at this time, we must remind ourselves of the short life, fast running life. All of us are running after the time, trying to catch up with the time, but the time is running away from us. We wish if we would have been younger than we are, and we would be healthier than we are, and every day we have more time than we do have now, and we can achieve every month more than what we do at this time. Those are our hopes. But the time is running fast, and we are not able to keep up with it. With our schedules, we run right and left, and we cannot keep up with them. With our plannings and the goals that we have for every day, we find out that there are so many things that we could not perform. Lack of time. Everyone is complaining that I'm so busy, what does that mean? Simply means lack of time. So if we remind ourselves of how fast the time is going, simply means how fast the death is coming to us. The faster the time will run, the closer the death is getting to us. The time is coming very soon. We are not too far from it. Look at the past of our life. The best moments of our life, we have forgotten them. The best food we ate in our life, we have forgotten the taste of it. Every time that we enjoyed, we don't remember and we don't know how it went. It went too fast. At the same time, the difficult times, the times of the hardships, they are all gone. Nothing continues forever. So, whatever little is left from that, why don't we just use it for the deen of Allah and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Accept anything that comes with it. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Because we cannot afford to lead ourselves to hellfire, وَعِيَازُ بِاللَّهُ. And Allah tells us, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever will disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمُ. For that person is the hellfire. And if the person will get too much into it, then he says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. The hellfire, the place, is really a place for those who should be remaining there forever. But of course, when there is iman with it, the iman will be able to pull the person out of that place. But each day when we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be reminding ourselves, فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمُ. When we disobey Allah, when we go against the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is it that we are leading ourselves to? We are leading ourselves to hellfire, وَعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. Very straight ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem. We cannot neglect them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore again and again reminds us of these facts, that don't disobey. Disobedience can lead to the worst destruction. And we basically, all of us, we are looking for some peace of mind. And we try to get in all different ways, and sometimes we get it for a short while. But just after that, it comes another difficulty. It comes a time that we never wanted it to come. We wanted to have longer enjoyment and longer peace. But it never stays forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the same fact. فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَوْا مَا يُعَدُونَ. He says, not too far. The day you would see what you have been promised. Till when they would see what they have been promised. فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَضْعَفُ نَاصِرًا وَأَقَلُّ عَدَدًا.
The kuffar were always proud that our forces are stronger. This is always in the history. And it still continues. They were always proud of this, that our forces are stronger. We have more helper, and we are larger in number.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how sometimes it looks like the ayah is just being revealed. Fresh. Applies to all present situation.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once they will see what they have been promised, they will see the punishment of Allah wal ayazu billah. That is the time they will realize, man adhafu nasira, who have weaker supporters, wa aqallu adada, and who are fewer in number.
At this time, if anyone thinks that we have larger support, and if we disobey Allah and be with the disobedient people, then we will have larger support, and we will have more people on our side, and we will be large in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it means nothing.
قُلْ إِنْ أَدْرِي أَقَرِيبٌ مَّا تُوعَدُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, I don't know. أَقَرِيبٌ مَّا تُوعَدُونَ. Is it very near what you have been promised? Which means the day of judgment?
أَمْ يَجْعَلُ لَهُ رَبِّي أَمَدًا.
Or Allah will have some period of time before it will come. I don't know that. And Allah did not give me the information of that.
عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ.
He is the knower of unseen.
فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا.
So he never discloses his unseen to anyone. They are his secrets. And he does not inform people and human beings of all of his secrets. And we don't even have to know those. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us,
مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ.
Whoever dies, that is the day of judgment for that person. That is your day of judgment. We don't have to worry when the day of judgment will take place. Our day of judgment is the day we die. And when is that? No guarantees. The most certain thing in our life is the death. Death is the most certain thing in our life. And the time of it is the most uncertain thing we have in our life. If it is something so certain that is coming for sure, time is uncertain, it might be this second, it might be next moment, it can be any time. Then why don't we be ready for it? Why don't we just prepare ourselves for it? So any time, if that time would come, we are ready to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be pleased to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In adri aqaribum ma tu'adun.
I don't know if it is very soon what you have been promised, or there will be some period of time before that.
Alimul ghayb.
The knower of unseen, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Fala yuzhiru ala ghaybihi ahada.
He does not disclose his unseen, his secrets, to anyone.
Illa man irtada min rasul.
Except when he selects a messenger, when he chooses a messenger, then he gives him some information of his unseen and his secrets. Remember here, we have to remember one word. When we say unseen, and we say the secrets, there is nothing unseen for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of unseen, alimul ghayb. That is, we are talking from our understanding and from our point of view. That things that are unseen to us, but there is nothing ghayb for him. Everything is in front of him. He sees everything. And he is everywhere. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Wherever you may be, He is there. So, nothing is hidden from Him. There is nothing ghaib for Him, is ghaib only for us. And He tells us that there are so many things that you as human beings do not see at this time. And therefore we cannot understand a lot of things. A lot of things are hidden from us. We look at these columns. What's inside the column, we don't even know that. What's inside the walls, we don't even know that. And then we depend so much on our knowledge. Oh, I know everything. I know all of these things. Subhanallah. When shaitan misleads people, he really takes them too far away from the fact and from realities. And he makes us so proud of our little knowledge that we have and the little information that we have. Sometimes you might see someone doing something and say, watch what he says. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. A person might be extremely angry. He's cursing. And he's trying to stop him and he says, I know what I'm doing. He really feels that he knows what he's doing. But everyone around him knows that he doesn't know what he's doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, Alimul Ghaib, I see so many things that you people don't see. And we say, I know what I'm doing. So many times, this is what we try to say, that I know what I'm doing. And He's telling us, no, you don't know what you're doing. I'm telling you what to do, just say, do what I'm asking you to do. At this time, you just do what I'm asking you to do. Because the time will come, once you depart from this world, then you will see the realities. Then everything will change. A child who's playing with small toys, and he has everything in those toys. He has a small house. He calls it my home. He has a small car. He says, this is my car. And everything that he has, he says, this is my this. This is my furniture. This is my car. This is my fridge. And they play with these toys. And if anyone tries to take these toys away from them, they say, he broke my car. And they would cry for it. They would fight for it. They'll say, don't worry, I'll get you another one. No, I want that one. And he would cry that he wants the same one. He doesn't want anyone to take that thing away from him. You feel that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's crying for this little toy. We all the adults sitting around him will laugh at him. But he doesn't understand. He thinks that they don't know what I'm crying for. It's so important to me. You don't know how important it is for me. As we grow up, then our toys are also grown up. And we have bigger toys. And we fight for these bigger toys now. And we do everything for these bigger toys. Now anyone who would say, tell us that you're wasting your time for this, you're crying for these things, we say, you don't know what you're saying. I know what I'm doing. But the reality you will see only once we'll depart. That is the time when people will really see the reality of this dust and wood, of this plastic and metal, and of everything that we have been, that we are sacrificing everything for, we will see the realities of them. So this is all hidden things from us. Things that many time and many more things that we cannot see. So there are a lot of things. In fact, most of the things we are not able to see. It's very little that we know. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. In there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the same ayah, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. I'm sure everyone recites that ayah, Ayatul Kursi. If we don't, we should. After every salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you recite it after every salah, nothing will prevent you from entering the Jannah except your life, which means wait for your death and you just go to Jannah. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ.
They have no knowledge of what he knows except the little that he has given them.
وَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, as the ayah will be coming here. Or it's another ayah. أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا.
He has the knowledge of everything. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, عَالِمُ الْغَيِّبِ, the knower of unseen.
فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا.
He does not disclose his secret to anyone of human beings, so does not tell all the secrets to human beings. Yea, he might tell different people few things, and especially Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, they see some of the things that are unseen for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them see that, and he show them some of those things, but doesn't mean now they became alimul ghayb. Only those things that he has showed them, they are not secret for them anymore, but they are much more that they don't know. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Anbiya, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلِ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. There are many messengers. We made some of them higher than other in virtue. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ نَقْصُصْ عَلَيْكَ. We informed you of some of those messengers and we did not inform you of some of those messengers. So you don't even know all the messengers. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He does not tell all of his secrets to anyone. Yes, when he tells a secret to any of the messengers, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولِ, when he chooses a prophet, and then he chooses to tell him some of his secrets, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I appoint a band of watching guards before him and behind him, so that no shaitan, no jinn will be present at that place. You know, you never know how many shayateen are around us at this time. How many jinns are around us at this time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I reveal a secret to a messenger of Allah, at that time, I don't allow any of the shayateen and jinn to be around there. And therefore, يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا, I send a large group of angels to be with the angel who's bringing that secret. So as soon as the shayateen and these jinn, they see these angels coming, they run away from them. So as they run away, now the angel will reveal that secret to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
لِيَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keeps these angels around the messengers of Allah? So that he would know and he would confirm and he would have witnesses for human beings for the Day of Judgment, for those human beings who would say that we never received a message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, لِيَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, so that though he would know and he can prove to them that they have conveyed the message of Allah. So these angels, now they stay with the messenger of Allah and they always are with him to protect him against the iblis and against the shayateen and against the jinn. لِيَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, so that he can prove to the world and prove to human beings. And these angels will talk as a proof. They will talk on the Day of Judgment, and they will be witnessing for these messengers of Allah that these messengers of Allah have conveyed the message of Allah. And قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, so he can prove that they have conveyed the message of Allah.
وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the knowledge of everything that they have and they do. أَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ. Allah says, I don't need these angels to tell me that this is what the messengers are doing. I know it. But that's only as a proof against you people, that you got the message. As far as for myself and my sake, أَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ, I have the knowledge of everything that they do and everything that goes around them.
وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا.
He says, not only that I know what these messengers of Allah do, I have the exact count. I keep the exact count of everything in the world. أَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. I have the exact count of everything in the world. Subhanallah. If we are to ask our souls just the number of hairs on our body, we would fail to answer that question. And now you can imagine when he says, أَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا, what does that mean and what type of knowledge he's referring to, that he has the exact count of everything that exists in the world. Ask him the number of birds, ask him the number of ants in the world, ask him the number of the dust in the world, ask him the number of the drops of water in the world, ask him the number of anything. He says, أَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. He has the exact count of everything that's in the world. I think I mentioned this before also. One of my teachers, when he used to explain the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, normally he used to pull out his pen. And he used to tell us that look at this pen, there is ink in it. There are so many things that are in the pen. One of the things that is in the pen is the ink. There is little water that is used in this ink. So he used to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is such that about this water that is in the ink, He knows when the water came to the world, in which ocean it was, how did it separate, where did it travel, who took it out, how much of it came into this pen, how much of it that was with it went to other places, how much of this ink will be used for writing a which paper, how much of it will ride what, and what will be the end of this water? You ask Allah, and Allah knows all of these details. أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. He has the exact figures and numbers of each and everything that exists in the world. Nothing is hidden from Him. One of the scholars says, as he was traveling, he saw a rock. So he wanted some stones, might be for his tinker purpose or something like this. So he brought the rock. When he brought that rock, he found that there was another stone, big piece of a stone in it. So he brought that stone also. When he brought that stone, so there was another small stone in it. He brought that one also. So he said a small insect came from inside. So he said, I started thinking, Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him the air to breathe in there and giving him the sustenance, providing him with the sustenance inside all of these rocks. Is he going to neglect a human being for whom he created the whole universe? Subhanallah. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There isn't any living being in the world that Allah says, I have not guaranteed to provide their sustenance. So, this is His knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the right understanding of the knowledge of Allah and the belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are supposed to have. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.